This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got Corey Majors. You have the famous Mike Bacsik and Reginald Atitula asking the questions that matter. Do people messing with your eyeballs freak you out?
No.
Okay.
I wish I could do what Eric Chiafalo has done.
Yeah, because their vision's LASIK. Amazing now.
But I
you don't
just
like
can't,
your glasses?
I can't. I'd rather have the vision I used to have, but I cannot have lasers on my eyeballs. I have to be totally asleep. Like they'd have to, and I don't think they can do the surgery.
Yeah, because you have to prop your eyes up. No, I'm already done talking.
About
okay.
That. Is it really lasers or is it a knife? Do they use a knife?
It's not a knife. All right.
With a nice serrated
no,
edge on
stop it.
It.
You're freaking Mike out. Like, stop doing that. The whole point of that commercial is how easy it is to do
it's
that.
More of a laser knife, like a lightsaber.
What are you two doing?
Oh, a laser knife is like a lightsaber.
Let's play cut number one.
You trust Jedis?
I do. Well, the Rangers are better than
they
you.
They trusted Anakin.
And everybody you know. Cut number one, please.
The 0-2, and this one is slugged up the alley in right center field. This one will hit high off the wall. That's a home run. It hit the top portion of the wall, bounces back into center field, but as has been the case for the last few years, you just need to get it above that front wall. So Josh Smith slugs his eighth home run of the year and gives Texas the early 1-0 lead.
Not, but perhaps he should be all-star Josh Smith getting work done. The Texas Rangers win their fifth straight ball game, ladies and gentlemen.
Congratulations to them, man. This is a great accomplishment. I'm not joking about this.
Okay.
It sounds like I'm joking about this. I'm not. They needed this. They look confident, and I'll be very honest. It feels like the Adolis home run is the thing that makes me go, that's my team again. That's back to what my expectation of this team is, that if they're in a tight game like this, that guy gets up to the plate. I know he was hitting some hard line drives yesterday. He was hitting the ball hard, and he finally got that moment for him after, Kevin, what you said was a mental day.
I mean, that's what Boach said, and I was curious. Mike, I pitched this out to Corey before the show started. I don't know if I'll ask Boachy this or not, but I know home runs count the same regardless of who hits them, and a win is a win, but does it feel any more uplifting that Adolis was the guy who hit the game-winning home run, especially since just the day before, he needed a mental day off?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes, because they know they need Adolis to be good to great to make this run late, the second half of the season, to make the playoffs. No, in that a win is a win. So if it would have came from Derek Hill,
still the same.
You'd have still felt like at the end of the day, we won 5-4. You've won 5 in a row. You're shaking hands every day. You're celebrating in the clubhouse every day, and you're feeling great. But then, yes, going back to yes, is you know that Adolis, nothing against Derek Hill, is more important than Derek Hill because he's going to be batting in the heart of your lineup the rest of the season, and you need that guy to produce the Adolis Garcia that we saw last year.
This is coming at a time that the lead up to these two series, the Angels series and the Astros series, you heard so many people from the Rangers saying, I don't know exactly what I wanted to hear. Like, I realize none of them are going to come out and be like, yeah, we're probably done. But Bruce Bochy, for example, is like, we know we got to get out there, make up some ground. But our guys have bounced back before. They lost the first series, came back and swept a very good team. And then you go to Eovaldi. We've got to go. This is a big week for us, and I don't think it's too late for a turnaround. And then I love Andrew Heaney, who remembers responsible for the quote of, well, we probably just need to win more games, which is spot on. But also, he goes, winning one out of three in a series, that's not going to cut it. Even two out of three right now feels like we're barely climbing out. So we need to win a lot of games. And I think we're starting to turn the corner a bit. And so you hear people saying the right things in terms of, like, even Andrew Heaney's like, it's not just winning the series. Like, if we could sweep some series, that would be great. And obviously, you saw what happened in the last series. You've seen what's happened to the start of this series. Heck of a way to put together your win streak.
Yeah, I also, Mike, with Max Scherzer on the mound last night, didn't hear anything about soreness after he came off. He goes out there, maybe the numbers, like, you would have liked a zero, you know, on the board.
Can I tell you something about that, 58 strikeouts? Okay, yes.
Everything looked good, though.
But one of the things that I did think was pretty positive, and Mike, you've told us about, like, I might be simplifying this too much, but there are days when you go out there and you're like, oh my God, I got my stuff. There's days where you're like, meh. And then there's days you're like, I don't got it. Scherzer, after they had scored four runs, I realized only three were earned. In the first four innings, I was like, ooh. And I think it was three after the first three innings. Same kind of logic. And to see him get almost seven. Through seven yeah. innings, I realized he didn't quite finish that out. And you need a Leclerc to come in. But to get that far in the game, I thought felt like a positive thing.
Yeah, and he might be dealing with maybe dead arm at this point, because most guys have gotten through that. Usually sometimes in the month of May, you go through a little bit of a period where your arm is fatigued. It's not hurt. And now you have no atmosphere in L.A. There's, I don't know, maybe 20,000 people. I don't have the
and that might attendance. Be an, it doesn't, and that might be the attendance, but man, doesn't yeah. it look like there's like 10 to 12,000 people yeah. out there.
So you have that. And so, you know, you don't know what his energy levels were at, but he didn't walk anybody. 95 pitches, 70 strikes in 6 2/3. He threw 20 out of 27 first pitch strikes. So I do like what I saw. And it does go back to what Bochy and I believe Chris Young said when he was coming back, we don't need him to be the Max Scherzer of Cy Young. We'd love for that, but
sure.
they don't need that. They just need him to consistently take the ball every fifth game and give them an opportunity to win. And I felt like last night he battled, didn't have the best stuff. I don't know how far away that is, though, from the stuff that he has at this point in his career.
I get you.
But he battled, and like you said, he didn't allow, because just think if he would have allowed a few free base runners before those hits.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're in big trouble. So I thought he did a good job of limiting the damage early in the game and then worked his way into the seventh inning.
Because 23, by the way, is what they had. They said they had last night. 23,000.
My ass. You saw that ballpark just like I did. There is no way in hell there was anywhere near 23,000 people there.
That was like 2017 Maverick sellout streak.
Yes, yes.
I'm in the building. There's literally 5,000 to 7,000 seats available.
Exactly. Right. And you said Chris Young or Boch was like, hey, we don't need him to be the Cy Young Max Scherzer. But you just brought up a really interesting point. I mean, a pretty strong argument can be made that that person does not exist anymore. Like,
probably not. Like, in
for a long haul.
I know it's a country song. I'm not as good as I once was.
Yeah.
Is like every once in a while we might see that Scherzer in a game, and he's going to possibly have to do that after the All-Star break. You play Baltimore. You know, against those teams when you play Seattle in the second half, or Houston, his next start is against Houston. Hopefully he bounces back and is able to execute a few more pitches, because yes, I will agree with the people who say it's just the Angels. I don't care. I don't care if you beat the Angels 90 times and lose 72 times to every other team. You still made the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so I look at it and go, all right, Houston's going to be a little bit of a tougher lineup. The Angels aren't as good of a lineup. I totally get it. But he was able to battle and get outs when he needed. And so he's going to have to do that against a Houston Astros team who, you know, you're catching. But they obviously, after a 7-19 start, have played a lot better baseball.
Yeah, they have. And we got to play better than them.
I mean, I definitely agree with that.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I wanted to go back. I know we've spotlighted him a couple of times, but the number was Wyatt Langford's hitting 325 since June 1st. Now I realize that was 2 days ago, and since then he's gone two of eight. So it's dipped a little bit. But one of the things that Boach talked about last week is the positioning of getting the barrel on the ball. He talked about that when we talked about Nate Lowe. You could talk about it with Wyatt, Tavares, any number of players. You can look at the scores. You can say, hey, we scored 5 runs and then 9 and 13 and all of that. It does feel like they're making better contact. Obviously, me saying that without having these specific numbers to back it up. It does feel like they're making better contact.
And I don't know how to explain what that difference is, Mike, other than Bochy was kind of explaining you're getting out in front of the ball a little bit more, and that's where the barrel's meeting the ball. So hearing him say that, it just feels like it was a timing issue, especially on the fastball specifically. So hearing him say that, I'm kind of curious what mechanics they work through and what it took. Was it just maybe the team was still a little fatigued from the World Series run and they needed to reboot a little bit?
For Wyatt Langford's mechanics?
Well, for all the hitters that are starting to barrel up a little bit better.
I do know specifically for Wyatt Langford's mechanics. Okay. I know what they were working on. One, they wanted to look at his stuff at Florida. And then two, they were noticing that he was getting a little bit bent over maybe too much at the waist.
Okay.
So if you think about your shoulders going too far over your toes and your butt getting away from you a little bit, they wanted him to keep his butt underneath him and stay a little bit taller.
Okay.
So that was one of the major mechanics that they were trying to switch with Wyatt Langford. I don't know.
Because you're off balance on any pitch if you're like that. Yeah.
But I do know specifically one of the things he is working on. There could have been a few other things, but they wanted him, if you just think he was just getting a little bit too head over toes, and which causes a little bit too much of a dippy swing. And I know that people want uppercut swings now, not everybody, but he was getting too much. And that's why you saw lazy pop-ups to right field or to the second baseman. So they wanted him to get a little bit more taller when he was batting. And so he's been able to do that. He still at times makes yesterday he had to just chop the crap out of the ball into home plate. And, you know, when he does that, hell, he beats out 33% of them. So you're like, well, I guess if he swings bad but chops it into the ground so hard, he still has a chance of getting a hit because of his speed. In fact, I wonder if yesterday they didn't get a good review in time, because one of them, it was really close. And then when they did show the replay, he was out by just a couple inches. But it seemed like Boach was frustrated and so was Will Venable, that it was almost like the back in the booth, whoever the replay guy is, was almost like, I don't have enough time to give you a good answer here. But Wyatt Langford, I was just looking on the end of May. So going into June 1st, he was hitting 222 with a 573 OPS. Right now he's batting 270. That's 48 points higher from June 1st. And he has a 742 OPS, which is 169 points higher than what he was starting off June 1st
with. And it's trending up as we go. Like, for example, using kind of that idea, 309 batting average in June, 345 in July. Now, I realize you're not quite even...
Only 29.
Yeah. But the OPS, if you're more focused on that, 894 OPS, you'll take that, and it's up to 963. This month. So it does feel like it's trending in the right direction, which is great news. On the flip side, I guess maybe some people missed this, and I think it was last week. I see a few people asking about Evan Carter. I believe it was last week that Boach said it's safe to say Evan Carter won't be back until after the All-Star break.
Oh, really?
So, I mean, look.
There's only four games left.
Exactly. But
I don't think he's, I mean, my,
even
I don't know.
Then feels like, soon.
I don't know if he's going to be ready for that Friday Baltimore game after the All-Star break.
And we can certainly ask Boach about that today, but it's been a slow return. Obviously, you keep waiting for Josh Jung as well. It feels like at this point, with the team rolling, you should just take these next four games, because obviously then you're going to get another 4 days after that of rest.
And then you can get Josh Jung back in the lineup and finally get the fire in your team you've been begging for.
I hope that is the case. And I saw some people going, oh, what about Josh Smith? The Rangers have made it very clear. Boach made it very clear last week. He's staying in the lineup as long as he's hitting anything like this. A couple things that he brought up is...
roving infielder
yeah,
position.
Yeah, actually, maybe. Pretty much, because he was like, well, look, when Josh Jung comes back, he's not going to play third base every single day. There's been discussions about Mike asked... I can't remember if you asked about Seager, like, strictly as a DH, but essentially he
that he would kind of maybe move to DH two days a week. And he
exactly.
was kind of like, yeah, to keep him healthy.
And so that would facilitate, for people that are worried about Josh Smith, like he's...
Yeah, Smith played two games at third a week.
Yeah.
Two games at short a week. There's four games, and he DHs one game.
So there's your five
games.
So
now he's played five out of six games.
Yeah, exactly. So for people that are concerned about that, that's one of the great things that Boach has said to us many, many times. With your back going like that, you'll stay in the lineup.
Yeah,
like they'll figure out a way.
Yes, exactly.
And the Texas Rangers now have the longest winning streak in Major League Baseball, just for right now, not ever. And they're only 5.5 back of Seattle.
There you go.
They're only 5.5 back of Seattle, which I realize is still a tall mountain to overcome, or a hill if you prefer. But seeing as how dire it felt just, what, a week ago? This is a wild improvement. And it feels like, for the first time, I'm not going to lie, for the first time in a while, it feels like maybe you have a shot. I know maybe the math said you had a shot before, but... this, it feels like it's been a while since the Rangers have really had like positive momentum. Yes.
Life. I mean, like a shot is cool and everything, but just seeing life makes you feel better about what you're watching, what you want to be attached to, like any kind of life like that. If you have a team that looks like they're going out there every time and they're just like, I don't know, I'm just laying down on my way to the plate right now.
Oh my gosh.
Then yeah, that's what I was feeling, was they were just dragging their bat up to the plate and they're like, that's it, guys. I don't know. I'm out, I guess.
Sounded like Clay Thompson at the very, very beginning of the presser yesterday. I know it changed after that.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.